Alive 90.5. Here's the latest news, brought to you by Pace, transforming places since 1978.
National Radio News.
Good morning, I'm Erin Archam. The federal government will inject almost $400 million into infectious disease, mental health and cancer research. 267 new projects will be funded under the program that also include a cardiovascular disease and Indigenous health. Applications for the grant program closed in 2019 prior to the COVID-19 outbreak, so projects looking into coronavirus won't get access to the funding. However, Health Minister Greg Hunt says research into other infectious diseases, such as the flu and pneumonia, will contribute to understanding COVID-19. A squabble about border restrictions between New South Wales and Queensland is continuing this morning as low numbers of COVID-19 cases are detected overnight. There's been 4 new cases of COVID-19 in New South Wales from more than 7,000 tests. In Queensland, 1 new case has been detected, a woman in her 70s who returned from India via Singapore 2 months ago. State Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk announced today that Queensland borders may stay shut beyond September if COVID-19 cases around the country can't be brought under control.
The measures we have taken also means that we have been able to allow some further easing of restrictions here ahead of our southern counterpart states. So unfortunately, New South Wales and Victoria have that community transmission and they have to get that under control before we allow visitors to come here.
Meanwhile, South Australia is bringing forward relaxation of coronavirus restrictions with alcohol allowed to be served at restaurants and cafes from Friday. The change will see restaurants to be able to seat up to 20 patrons, 10 indoor and 10 outdoor. Pubs and clubs will also be permitted to open on June 5th, the Saturday of the Queen's birthday long weekend. South Australia has just 1 case of coronavirus detected in the past 28 days. A Senate committee inquiry into domestic violence has finalised its report without taking evidence from any witnesses or calling for submissions. The Legal and Constitutional Affairs Committee was tasked with a 6-month inquiry after the horrific deaths of Brisbane woman Hannah Clark and her 3 children in February. But its final report was delivered yesterday, 3 months ahead of schedule, without accepting submissions, holding public hearings or making any recommendations. Law Council of Australia President Pauline Wright said the early report demonstrates a lack of commitment by decision makers to address a serious community problem and a significant cause of death in Australia. Loneliness and lifestyle are the key findings to emerge from a National Bureau of Statistics survey on how people are coping during the COVID-19 pandemic. The survey shows loneliness was the most widely reported source of personal stress during April. The latest COVID-19 household survey found more than a quarter of women reported feeling lonely compared to men at 16%. 14% are consuming more alcohol. 1/5 of respondents have had difficulty maintaining a healthy lifestyle, and just as many are eating more snacks. Michelle Marcourt from the ABS says some disturbing trends have emerged.
We found that about 1 in 5 people reported that they were having difficulty maintaining a healthy lifestyle. We also found that over half of all survey respondents were spending more time in front of their TV or computer, and 1 in 5 said they were eating more snack food.
National Radio News is supported by the Judith Nielsen Institute for Journalism and Ideas and the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.org.au.
And now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5, brought to you by Concise Finance, your local mortgage broker.
It's a lovely 22 degrees, looking towards a top of 23 degrees today. Forecast for the rest of Wednesday, a mix of sun and cloud, winds northwesterly 15 to 25 kilometres an hour. The sun will set tonight, bang on 5 p.m. Looking for the rest of the week, showers on Thursday, 11 to 19. Friday, possible shower, 7 to 16. Saturday, possible shower again, 7 to 18. And rounding out the weekend, Sunday, possible shower again, 10 to 18. The moon is a waning crescent with new moon this Saturday, the 23rd of May.
The updated traffic, brought to you by Fernwood Gym of Seven Hills and North Rocks on Alive 90.5.
Down south at Miranda, the emergency gas leak Work is still going on. That's at the Kingsway just past Cure Road, with one of three westbound lanes closed. Up in the mountains at Glenbrook, Great Western Highway near Mount Street, a track breakdown, one of two westbound lanes closed. Reesbury, M5 motorway approaching the River Road, hazard some timber on the road. So watch out for that timber. The motorway is infected in the eastbound direction. It's 6 minutes past 11. You're on Business Insights with Mario into our second hour. And Mario, it's a lovely morning and we just have the
truly
best
it is. I'm just 22 degrees. The temperature is rising and rising. That's a song, I think. Well, it's thank you to all listeners to Line 90.5 Business Insights with Mario. Our first guest, Nick Bendel, he's still with us in the studio. However, it's a double Nick today day. We have our second guest, Nick Hill, who is online with us. But before I introduce Nick, before Nick starts talking, I'd like to introduce him. He's a committed professional, passionate marketing specialist. He has over 20 years proven marketing experience, primarily focused on growing businesses to business revenue and blue chip organization in Australia overseas. Now, before I say to give the word to Nick, I'd like to ask Darren and the Nick Bendel in studio. There's going to be a debate now with our second guest, Nick Hill. What do you prefer more, Vegemite or Marmalade? Come on, be honest with me. I don't like it either because it's so.
Well, actually, as I grew up, Mum was a Marmite fan, but Dad got me onto Promite.
Ooh, what so is that, eh?
Well, Promite's a bit sweeter than either of them, so I don't know. I might have to just be an abstainer here in the debate.
Okay, so Nick Bendel, yourself?
Vegemite for me, and I don't talk to people who eat Marmite or Promite.
Okay, so our guest in studio online, online, Nick Hill from Melbourne. Hello, Nick.
Hello. Well, I clearly can't talk to the other Nick then.
Yeah.
Oh, no!
Yes, you can. So, Nick, thank you so much for finding time today to share your experience and tips and insights to our listeners. Being online with us, I know you're extremely busy, and I know that Melbourne it's very cold today, I presume, or it's nice and sunny like in Sydney.
Yeah, you've made me jealous by saying how nice the weather is up in Sydney. It's not quite the same in Melbourne. It's been raining, but now it's just kind of cloudy and cold. So,
Okay. Well,
rather be with you, Mario.
I know, with me. Okay, that's a good one. So I was like, Nick, do you mind to introduce yourself to our listeners? I know you personally for many, many years, same as Nick Bendel. And when I was planning with Darren today, the guest, I would like to see, both of you in the studio, but you're in Melbourne. And the best way to introduce yourself to our listeners, it's you saying story about yourself. So who is Nick Hill?
Nice question, Mario. I think Nick Hill is someone who has spent most of his life being really interested in what people do, and in particular what businesses do. I really love hearing about business stories and how people have got to where they're at and where they're trying to go. Mm-hmm. And that led me into my marketing career, and I've been in the marketing industry, mainly business-to-business service organizations for quite a long time. And I spend most of my time really trying to help businesses work out where they should be focusing and then actually doing the do, because lots of people develop a whole heap of different plans.
Yeah.
But it's the implementation side that a lot of people struggle with, because there's always competing priorities. So I help people with that, and try and get them to put a smile on their face.
You put a smile on the face. Look, I don't know. I'm going to include the Nick Bendel a little bit later in our discussion in a second part of this show, like a last half an hour. I want to fight, what's the best marketing tips. But now, what's the best way you helping the clients? What's the services you providing to your clients?
Well, so very broad. On the sort of easiest level for clients is your kind of outsourced marketing manager. So lots of businesses don't want to use the salary of a full-time employee as a marketing person.
Yes.
Their business maybe isn't the right size for that, or it just doesn't make sense. And so they can employ me on a contract basis, so that you only use me when you need me to basically be your marketing manager without carrying all the overheads of the cost.
I try to dispute what's the, you know, the Marmalite, because I know you, every time I mention Vegemite, you go like a furor. I mean, it's not Vegemite, it's a Marmalite. But Nick, you're coming from UK. Tell us the difference in a business-wise, you know, running the business in UK. Okay, we talk about pre-COVID and in Australia. What do you find more beneficiary for someone to run the business in UK or in Australia?
I think it's very interesting running a business in Australia, where while the language is the same, the structure of the country is really quite different. You know, in the UK, you've got 64 million people in, you know, whatever it is, half the size of Victoria or something.
Yeah.
And so there's a real difference here between metro and country.
Yes.
But it was something that I didn't appreciate as much when I was in the UK. And so I think that gives a lot of challenges for businesses, but it also gives a lot of opportunities for businesses, particularly in those country areas, to really own their space in a way that's harder in the UK.
Yes.
And I think people generally in Australia, you know, they like working with people that they know and people that they can trust, and it's a little easier to try and build that trust in Australia, I think.
Okay, so you can, and I'm just asking for the friend in the studio, Darren Capes Davis. What do you prefer, Marmalite or Vegemite? Why is Marmalite for you?
Well,
the sauce, yes?
Marmite, not Marmalade. Okay. But I think you know that.
Marmite. No, I was thinking it's Marmalite, sorry. Yes?
Marmite, it just tastes different. So they're very similar products. Essentially, if you grow up with one, you tend to like that one more than the other. So I grew up with Marmite, and if you ever want to try, you know, UK Marmite with proper butter and Marmite on toast is just brilliant. So Vegemite is nice.
Yes.
Marmite is the way forward.
Well, Darren, now we've, you know, like I tried to, Darren, he mentioned, has a Promite as well now. And I was like, I tried to explain to Nick Bendel and the Darren that you and always have this disagreement about Marmite and the Vegemite, which I don't like it either, you know what I mean? But, you know, I heard now it's a Promite, which I'm going to taste it because Darren says it's much more sweeter. So that's the must be difference cuisine in UK and in Australia.
Yeah, I think the Promite is just if you don't like the others and you want to be on the mite.
Yeah, on the mite.
Yeah, have one of the mites so you can say, I do have a yeast spread, then you might want to go for Promite.
Nick, tell me something. What's the biggest mistake any company does or any entrepreneur or any solopreneur does when it comes to the marketing? What do you see from your experience? What's the biggest mistake everybody does when it comes to the marketing of their businesses?
Kind of two. I'm going to say, so one of the biggest mistakes is that they just try and do too much. So most people have got ideas that they want to do for their business, and even a big business tries to just do too many.
Yes.
And so I think that people should really try and focus on getting a smaller number done and done well than trying to do, you know, even five can be way too many for a business. And the other one is actually on the implementation side of things. You know, so make sure that you actually carry through a project that you're trying to do, rather than just go, okay, I wrote one blog as part of my blog process or a newsletter, or I tried to get in the media once and I've given up. You know, marketing isn't a silver bullet. It's something where you always try and do the best thing that you can, but you have to keep learning from what you're doing and refining. So if that answers your question, Mario.
It does answer the question, because it's like, I know that Nick Bendel, he does quite differently than yourself. And I know that, you know, me personally, as a Mario Beckers and his companies, we engage with you, you know, many, many times, particularly me, who English is not first language, you know, to write the articles. Now, when we talk about marketing, are we talking about marketing, it should be done like, you know, what's it called, this guerrilla marketing, something like this, you know, when you carpet bombing everybody, or you need to precisely to target a particular individual or the company? What would your suggestion be on that one? Is it that depend on the type of the business, or depend on the type of the budget, or do you need to have the big budget for marketing?
Basically, you don't have to have a big budget for marketing, but your starting point needs to be who are you trying to sell to, and what are their problems that you're solving, whether it's with a product or a service. And when you look at what the problems that you're solving for them and who they are, that allows you to find out what the best way to reach those people are. So, you know, for example, if it's something like how to cut someone's grass better.
Yes.
Most people in the country have some kind of a grass that they want to cut.
Yes.
So you'd be wanting to do probably something that was potentially a lot broader mm-hmm. in terms of the way you appeal to them. But if you're only trying to sell let's say marketing to insurance companies.
I love insurance companies.
In Australia.
I love insurance companies because they're my client. Yeah. So like I found a very good, nice, I would say niche. And I know that through you and your organization, I'm writing articles, and the articles actually comes very, very, very handy and very resourceful, insightful, rather than as our guest in studio, Nick Bendel, who has, you know, a true admirer, both of you. He comes every day with a video and sharing the tips and you know, the insights to the clients. But why are you saying it doesn't need to be big marketing budget? Why are we doing mistake that we believe, and I was believing when I started my business, I need to have thousands of dollars to do the marketing?
Well, because marketing is a very broad profession, and so some things that you do don't cost money,
yeah,
and some do. Now, it's always better to have a budget, and if yeah. you've got a decent sized budget, it allows you to do a lot more. You know, yeah. So whether it's your podcast videos, it just allows you to do more where you've got a budget. But you don't have to spend millions of dollars on advertising if that's not going to hit your target market. So if you have a really clear niche,
yeah.
it may be that, you know, like an advert in a newspaper that costs you an amount of money, or on TV, isn't necessarily the best way to reach those people. You know, but sometimes it is. So it's just, it may be as easy to partner with someone who has access to yes. your target market, and you give them something, they give you something, and you have access to the people that you want to talk to. And that might cost you nothing.
Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah. Well, we'll take a short break now. That's our guest, Nick Hill from Hillson Marketing in Melbourne. And we'll come back a little bit later after the sun break. And thank you for listening to Live 90.5.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June. I said
that's life.
And as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down. 'Cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out. And I know one thing, each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
I tell you, I can't deny it. I thought of quitting, baby, but my heart just ain't gonna buy it. And if I didn't think it was worth one single try, I'd jump right on a big bird and then I'd fly.
I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself laying flat on my face, I just pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
And I can't deny it. Many times I thought of cutting out, but my heart won't buy it. But if there's nothing shaking come this here July, I'm gonna roll myself up in a big ball and die. My.
Here's Dr. Jack from Beyond Infinity Dental.
A retired couple had a chat with me about implants. They were just sick and tired of being unable to chew a steak and bite into an apple. They were worried about two things, the pain and the cost. After I explained everything, they decided to go ahead with the implants to lock in their dentures. Now they couldn't be happier. They are always smiling.
Would you like the best in dental care? Call Dr. Jack on 9838 9111 or pop in at Shop 20A Winston Hills Shopping Centre, 180 Caroline Chisholm Drive, Winston Hills 2153, or go online, infinitydentalcare.com.au. Station sponsor.
Hi, Alan Barnes from Dural Pool Shop. With the swim season nearly here, I'd like to stress the importance of proper maintenance and care to maximise your enjoyment. Our expert pool technicians can help you make sure of the right pool quality, cleaning methods and equipment, filter maintenance, cost-effective pool chemicals and more. See full details on our website at duralpoolshop.com.au, or better still, drop in and see me and the gang at Shop 2, 270 Newline Road, Dural. We'll help you to get your pool just how you want it.
Dural Pool Shop, station sponsor.
Alive 90.5, broadcasting to the hills, Parramatta and Cumberland.
It's 23 minutes past 11 and we're just about 23 degrees on the day. And this is Business Insights with Mario. We have a warm day and a warm studio and a warm line to Melbourne as well.
Well, Darren, thank you very much. You know, 23 degrees, I think we're coming to the summer, not in the winter. We start with 23 degrees. We have our guest in studio, to be more precise, online, Nick Hill from Hillside Marketing in Melbourne, where it's very cold and cloudy, which obviously is going to reach Sydney next couple of days. And I thank you to you. Thank you very much for our previous guest, Nick Bendel, who is still with us in the studio. But Nick, come back to you. We agree we don't need to have the big marketing, to a big budget for the marketing. But tell me, Nick, what is the biggest hurdle for the everybody when it's come to the writing marketing material? How do people come to you, and you know, how they describe to you what their needs are and how you convert this or it translate into the marketing material?
I think the biggest challenge that people face is that they know their business too well, and particularly if you're talking someone who has a technical type business, let's use an engineer for example, they know their business so well that quite often when they're talking to potential customers, they use acronyms that they understand but the customers don't. They use a form of language that they know but their customers just don't know as much about their business as they do. So it's trying to change the way they speak to the way their customer actually understands them. So we need to try and make sure that the language talks to the customer rather than is something that is how the business owner understands what they think.
Well, thank you, Nick. I'm going to ask our guest is our guest in studio, Nick Bendel, as well. Do you you know what Nick Hill he said, is that what you find as well, the problem with the clients that is using acronyms or the language, or you know, I know what I want? Or
I think Nick has made a great point, Mario. Yeah. When you communicate, you always need to communicate in a way that the other person understands, and your clients aren't industry experts. You're an industry expert as the business owner or the business leader, but your clients aren't industry experts, so you need to speak their language, not your language.
And that's very interesting. Darren, any thoughts about this one?
Well, I'm just thinking, as an engineer, I'd probably be of the sort that might go to the acronyms and things like that. But I've learned over time that's not the best way to connect with people. And taking some tips from Nick's tips in the last hour, you need to actually have that personal connection, not just a techie connection. So, and I think that's what we all agree on.
What's the most frustrating for you, Mr. Nick Hill from Hillson Marketing, because the two Nicks in studio need to say your surname. What's the most frustrating moment with you with some of the clients, Nick, when it comes to the marketing? Apart from Mario Beckers, who tries to, like, in 500 words convert into the 5,000 words to write the article, apart from that, yes?
Yeah, I can't just talk about you.
True. So what's the most frustrating for you when you have the client and, you know, he or she or them, they try to pursue one type of agenda into the marketing and they know what they do? Is this is something what your biggest hurdle is, or is something else?
I find there's two things. One is the not actually implementing things. So they might, you know that they want a plan, for example, but they don't put the time, effort and resources into actually making that plan live and breathe.
Yeah.
Which means the plan's kind of pointless. And then the other one is striking the right balance between making it exactly what they're happy with,
yes,
and actually getting it out of the door. So Nick Bendel, I don't know whether you find the same thing, but you know, if you write, say, a blog for someone,
yes,
they could spend weeks actually going, oh, let's get this, let's make sure we get this right.
Yeah.
When it's pretty much right anyway, and all you're doing is essentially wasting time when you could have probably written three blogs that work really well, mm-hmm, in the same space of time as writing one that may have had a few words changed, and it means that they're not focusing on the operations of their business.
Interesting. I have a question for both Nicks now, and I want an honest answer about this one, because that theory goes, you know, since my childhood. Is it true that sex sells everything? And the point of marketing, and I'm very serious, does the sex sells everything? You know, I'll give an example, Darren. You know, every time when I was going for holiday, you know what I mean, and was something on a plane, and I would like to watch something on a YouTube, or, you know, pops up this advertising, you know, nice, beautiful, you know, girl in a pool, you know what I mean, in the water, which obviously, you know, influences, whatever they call them. She has a laptop, you know what I mean, and pina colada, whatever it is, and she says, I'm making $100,000 from my pool per week. And I'm like, seriously? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what is that job? But what it is, it's a sex appeal, right? It's a woman in the water. Nick Hill, first to you, does a sex sells everything in marketing?
I think that what it does do is it catches everyone's attention.
Okay.
So it's definitely something that catches people's attention. Personally, I don't think it tends to reflect very well on most brands.
Yeah.
But it is something that catches people's attention, but so do cat videos.
Interesting, yeah. Nick Bendel, you on that one?
Yeah, I think Nick hit the nail on the head, Mario. When you do marketing, you're trying to attract people's attention. Sex can be a great way to do that, but it needs to be the right sort of attention. If your audience is female, for example, and you're putting out images of scantily clad women, you might attract the attention of these female customers and offend them, which is bad. So you want to make sure, if you are using sex, that it's appropriate and that your customers will respond positively to it.
The reason why I'm asking this question is very simple. And Nick Hill, he's an expert in reputational risk management, which most of us didn't know. But when it comes to problems, not just the marketing wise, but you need to use the marketing strategy when company hits the wall, you know, I mean, let's go say too much sex being sold in the marketing and attract the bad reviews and people don't like the company anymore. Nick Hill, question for you. What do you suggest to companies who experience reputational damages in the public? How to approach this problem?
I think that one way or another, crisis communications are really important these days. And
yeah, please share with us.
The speed that social media can now amplify someone's negative response, mm-hmm, is 100 1,000 times fold what it used to be when someone would just tell you that something's not right.
Yeah.
So you need to make sure that you're listening to what people are saying about you, and you need to respond to any negative criticism, but also make sure that you're getting a series of consistent communications out that do fit your brand and do give the right message out. And you definitely, you can't just ignore people, because the negativity will just balloon.
Well, interesting. Nick Bendel, what do you have on this one?
I think, as Nick said, it's so important to communicate. Often if you or your business are being criticised for something, the criticism may be perfectly valid, but often the criticism only contains part of the story. So if you as an individual or you as a business can communicate the other half of the story, you might be able to change people's minds just by communicating information that they weren't aware of. I think Nick is correct, though. You can't do nothing, because then you're letting this other message dominate the conversation. You need to put your own message out there.
Nick, for you, Nick, in Melbourne, Nick Hill, the question for you is, like, when the company has the marketing issues, I presume, like, I will say from my experience, I will react with my emotions rather than with my brain. And how do you explain to your client, you know, I mean, to take a break, you know, emotionally, not to be attached to the problem, but, you know, correct on a marketing way through professionals like yourself?
I think that's another good question, and I think you just have to come back to facts.
Yes.
And come back to remembering who are the people that you're trying to speak to.
Mm-hmm.
And if things do get out of hand from a crisis communications type perspective, you need to be communicating alongside your, if you like, your general messaging. You need to be communicating to your clients and your key stakeholders to make sure that they know, if you like, know the full side of the story, like Nick was talking about earlier. Because what you don't want is, you don't want to ignore all your clients, and you just need to try and let the business owner kind of understand where they're maybe being, being a bit too personal about things.
Oh, very interesting. Yes, Darren, you have something to ask?
I'm just thinking with the crisis communication, Nikhil. Do you have some good examples of the current pandemic? I know we don't want to labour on it, but it's where we are. Are there been some good examples of where people responded well? And do you have any poor examples? And do you have any tips regarding the best sort of crisis communication?
I think that's just it's such a great point. I find a lot of it at the moment comes down to kind of timing and trying to strike the right balance between, you still want your business is open and you still want to sell and people still have challenges, but people aren't too receptive on very salesy messages. In terms of, I don't know if it's quite crisis communications, but once all the hotels and things were shut down, I received several email blasts from a hotel chain in Brisbane, giving me offers to stay, and I'm kind of like, I just didn't understand it, to be honest.
Sorry, I'm laughing, but that it is a true. You know what I mean? I got from Marriott Bondway as well. Same thing. We give you 60%, not discount, something like a point or something like this. So yeah, please continue, Nick. Yeah.
Whereas on the flip side, there's a company called Work Healthy Australia who, most of their business is going on-site and treating injured workers. And in the space of a few weeks, if not less, they kind of flipped a lot of their business to offer comprehensive virtual health and telehealth solutions alongside their on-site work. And they consistently told their clients and their stakeholders what they were doing and how this was actually a robust form of healthcare solution, and I thought they dealt with that. They've dealt with the situation really, really well in keeping their clients engaged.
So in a way, Nick, you're saying that the best way to deal with a crisis is look for an opportunity of how to change and retranslate your business, and say the hotel chains is just looking for people in beds, and it's very difficult, but for the healthy workplace ambassadors, they were able to take advantage of the situation and look to be nimble in how they adjusted their business.
I think certainly in the current environment, you know, where it is one, I've written a couple of things about it, where you just had to look at your business and see what you could do. You know, what can you change in the short term, and what do you need to change in the medium term going longer? I think the good businesses have done that. And I think the most important thing is they've kept communicating, you know, and the more you keep communicating, even if your business has been shut, the more chance you've got of bouncing back.
And Nick Bindle in the studio, any thoughts on that topic of how to market during a crisis?
Well, anytime you do marketing, Darren, whether it's during a crisis or in normal times, you need to put out information that your audience considers interesting, relevant and helpful. The example Nick gave before of that Brisbane hotel that was sending him offers, that would have been interesting, relevant and helpful before the crisis, but now that the crisis has arrived, that's no longer interesting, relevant and helpful.
But why are the people doing this? You know, who is the marketing companies who advise them to do such a thing? Particularly Victoria, who was, you know, Nick, if I'm correct, Nick Hill, and I mean, you have the very, very strict rules of self-isolation, and I mean, why would a hotel advertise such a thing? You come in hotel and stay with us, you know what I mean, for 60% off, when is that actually is not a good advertising. I truly believe that this is sign of desperation. Maybe that's me, but you're listening a lie. 90.5 Business Insights with Mario, our guest Nick Hill from Hillson Marketing, and Nick Bendel in studio, gonna fight a little bit later after the break. You're listening live 90.5.
Unforgettable. That's what you are. Unforgettable. Though near or far, like a song of love that clings to me. How the thought of you does things to me. Never before has a someone been more. Unforgettable in every way. And forevermore, that's how you're gonna stay, baby. That's why, darling, it's incredible someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too. That's why, darling, when you hold my hand, I can hardly understand how someone like you thinks that I am unforgettable. Thank you.
30 years experience, you'll be in great hands at Granny Flat Leaders. The dream starts in your backyard. Our vision is to combine investment, design and construction to make your dream come to life. We want to help inspire you to make a change and experience great life improvements through Granny Flat Leaders. Call us now on 8076 1613 and ask us how, or visit www.grannyflatleaders.com.au. Sponsor of the Jukebox Jive program.
It really hurts us when a loved one passes on, but it's nice to know that their memory will be well respected in their final resting place. Castlebrook Memorial Park has looked after the families of loved ones for over 50 years. You can visit them and talk to their family service advisors almost any day from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Their website is castlebrook.com.au. Castlebrook Memorial Park is at Windsor Road, Rouse Hill, and is a proud sponsor of Alive 90.5.
Thanks for listening to the best in community radio, Alive 90.5.
It's 19 minutes to 12 on Alive 90.5, and we're at 23 degrees. Can you consider that, Mario?
Beautiful. Oh, that's beautiful. I can't wait to step outside. You know, I was almost brought my ski jacket, you know. I mean, this morning I was like, no, really. But I'd like to say thank you, Nick Bendel, for being our guest in the first hour of the show and making this radio station quite warmer with his great insights and the tips. And our second guest, Nick Hill, from Hillson Marketing in Melbourne. Now, Nick, we talk about problems, everybody, about marketing, how to do marketing properly, what the budgets are. Now, I have the Nick Bendel, as you know, in the studio, and he found a different way of promoting himself, and he shared with our audience seven steps. How do you promoting your work?
Well, I haven't tried sleeping in a car for 999 days.
What do you think about this one? What do you think about this 999 days?
People love people that have done something a bit different.
Yes.
And when you're able to stand out and be a bit different, I think it's great. So, yeah, you know,
It's very brave, you know, I mean, particularly now 500 lunches, but how do you marketing yourself? Do you have that as well, rewriting the books on network? Because I truly like it when Nick Bendel does it, 500 lunches. And but how do you marketing yourself? Do you believe it's more word of mouth? Or do you believe it's a more client referring you to somebody else? Or do you, you're promoting your work in a different way?
I tend to do most of my work through kind of network relationship type marketing.
Yeah.
My being a sort of business to business services specialist, I tend to focus on mm-hmm. clients in that space, and particularly in the kind of sometimes a more technical space, whether it's engineering, risk, insurance,
yeah.
Areas that I do a lot in. So I do more partnerships, networking, relationship side of things.
That's very interesting. Yeah, that's very interesting. It's like opposite. I'll tell you something about my marketing, Darren. So I have two experts now, you know, one in studio, one online. My very first marketing was, I have no money, right? So like I decide, you know, Inside Intelligence Group to, you know, promote. So I printed on a cheapest printer, you know, the Sherlock Holmes hat, right? And I said, you need a private investigator. So I'm the guy, I'm the guy who should know I was spying and everything else, and I left my mobile phone. So what I was tendency was, it's like, I'm going to go in the toilets, put in, and then, you know, in cubicles, right? Anyway, suddenly I have the police on my door, like a couple hours later. I says to me, it's illegal to do that advertising. I said, like, what do you mean? He said, you need to pay the shopping center. And I said, like, how did you find me? And the guy says, like, is this your flyer? So like, well, yes, it is. That was my first marketing. I didn't have no money, right? I was just like, it was just ridiculous. And I was very afraid. Then I go in the shopping center. So I was, you know, I was trying to hide the hot girls, you know, I have no money to give the flyers in the private investigator. And then I said, like, no, that doesn't work that way. I know it's funny, you know what I mean? So what do you think, Nick Bendel, about my first marketing approach?
Well, I do like your guerrilla marketing tactics, yeah. Mario. When we don't have much money, we do have to come up with interesting ways to market. Yeah. But the good thing is now with social media, you can actually do marketing every day without paying a cent.
Yeah. Nick Hill, to ask you, how much is productive having social media as a tool over the marketing? or do you prefer it's more like a newspapers or TV? Or what's the most effective way you're suggesting to your high-tech blue-chip organizations to do marketing?
Well, again, it depends on the target market of your organization, but what social media is great at is getting a message to a lot of people and also to targeting it. So I do a amount of work in the LinkedIn space, and you know, LinkedIn is essentially a business register. Everyone that has a business and is a professional,
yeah.
So you're able to connect with and amplify your message to your target market in a much more targeted, precise way than the sort of old classics of putting adverts in newspapers or sponsoring the local footy team.
So when somebody wants to see you and you know, and your tips, what do you expect from somebody, like when you see the first time, how do you expect they're gonna articulate their needs into the marketing? Do you give somebody to open their heart and soul, or you have the sets of the questions? How do you approach the people who want to do the marketing, your clients?
Well, first thing I tend to do is I'll offer a free 30-minute marketing audit where I try and understand the business, what it's trying to achieve and what it does from a marketing perspective, and just give them some advice in terms of whether I think that their activities are targeted and hitting the right people with the right products that they have.
Interesting. Nick, how do you do? When somebody comes to us, like, listen, I want to write email, because that's the first time I'm hearing that you're writing emails for people.
Mm.
Nick Hill writes my articles. No question asked. No, let me rephrase this. I write the article. He makes article readable and more professional, more marketable, polished, yes. So that's what Nick Hill does for my business. But how do you you do, like, someone as a Nick Hill, or what's your goal? You give us half an hour for free, or... You know, you're waiting for them to do the Crimea River. You know what I mean? I have no money. I want to reach these girls. I want to be a successful entrepreneur. What?
Yeah, we have an upfront strategy session that we'll give someone for free, like Nick. It's a 30-minute strategy call you can have. And often I'm advising people to do marketing where they actually don't have to pay me or my business a cent. So often I'll advise them to do videos, which are free,
yeah.
Or to publish blogs that they're writing themselves, which again is free. The problem a lot of businesses have, and Nick touched on this earlier, they've got a million different ideas and they want to do all of them or they do none of them. So it can be good to talk to an expert like me or like Nick, who can just steer you in the right direction and say, instead of doing these 1 million things, just focus on these two or three things.
Interesting. Nick Hill, question for you. Darren touched this earlier. During COVID-19 crisis, does marketing experts like yourself, not you personally, but other companies, could learn something from this crisis in terms of marketing, in sense of, you know, we'll be more positive or less negative in the advertising, not just to be the sales points, but rather to be in the, you know, I mean, somebody who's giving the hope people.
Oh, I think that's a question. Just going back to Nick's answer before, I think it's really good to recognise that marketing isn't just advertising. So I think a lot of people think that paying for advertising, Google AdWords...
Well, I was the one, you know what I mean, yes.
..is not marketing. It's a part of it and it can help. But, you know, as Nick said, there's a number of ways that people can actually help themselves and do some pretty effective marketing that doesn't actually have to cost anything. In terms of the COVID space, I think everyone should be learning from where we're at. And I think there's a Winston Churchill quote that's don't waste a good crisis. But, you know, so much has happened in such a short space of time that there are lots of ways that people should be learning how to do things. And a lot of it is, I think, coming back to personalization. So, you know, there are some people who there are some people who just don't have the bandwidth to respond to any kind of a sales message, for example. But there are other people right now who have a lot of time to respond to sales messaging because they're not doing as much as they were. And the more we can personalize the communications to hit people when they're ready for it, then the better.
So do you believe that this COVID-19 crisis will change the landscape of the marketing? Both questions. Question for both of you. Nick Hill first.
Yes. I think it's going to change the way we do business a lot. Not necessarily like completely flip it on a head, but you know, for example, every single business now knows how to work from home, you know, pretty much. And every business knows how to do a video conference. Now, they weren't out there ideas beforehand, but lots of companies didn't really embrace them, and now they've all tried them. And so, and how to sell or try and sell and offer products from a distance as well as just, you know, being in front of the person. And I think that there's a lot of skills and tactics that can be learned from that. And also they're quite often a lot cheaper from a marketing perspective, where you're not physically having to drive around the country and be in front of people.
Well, I'm certainly all listeners who are interested in marketing, you know, they will reach you and ask you to share your knowledge and expertise, particularly after COVID-19. But now, same questions for Nick Bendel. Will COVID-19 change the landscape of the type of marketing? Now, you know, I don't want to bounce the questions, but it's like, you know, you can interrupt each other because you're all online, Nick Hill as well. I truly believe that the market will not forgive to the large companies that they're just wiped out from the face of the earth during the COVID-19, and they were not there for them, but rather to be individuals like yourself, Nick Bendel and Nick Hill, and they're going to search for you. Now, Nick, again, back to my question. Do you believe that COVID-19 will change the marketing in the future? Strategies, strategies.
I have a different take to Nick. I don't think things will change. I think the fundamentals remain the same, which is you should be doing marketing that your audience considers interesting, relevant and helpful, no matter what the conditions are. Yep. I think once life returns to normal, people will just do what they've always done. I think Nick's Brisbane Hotel will keep pumping out the same emails that they've always been pumping out. I don't think the fundamentals ever change, and I can't see why in a post-COVID world the fundamentals would be different.
Okay, on the same topic.
And I don't disagree with that either. You know, I think the fundamentals of getting the right message to the right people that they're interested in is right. I just think it's going to be interesting with some of the business changes that may have taken place that might alter some of the tactics.
Interesting thinking. Question for both of you before we lock down, you know what I mean, and we went up out to the episode. During the COVID-19, and I'd say, like, you know, I'm talking from my experience, I don't talk about nobody else, it's Mario Bekes talking. Why the media and the type of marketing we saw, it's everything was exclusive, it's a breaking news. Why is this more attractive? And there was a lot of BS there, you know what I mean? Like, there was no breaking news. There's no, like, you know, I'm open my Twitter and his title says, like, Mario Bekes has a six-pack. I open and say, like, let me see it. It's like talking about Mario Bekes' chocolate. Why negative context, it's more better marketing? Sorry, negative how do you call this, Darren? Exclusive? No, how would you call this type of marketing? Amazon news, breaking news.
It's pessimistic, I think.
Yeah, why is this, Nick Hill? Why is more people drawn to this negative type of marketing, I mean, during the COVID-19 instead of searching for the, I don't know, Baywatch, I mean, Pamela Anderson, I mean, 1989 or something like this? And then Nick Bendel. Why were you drawn more to negative type of marketing during the crisis than the positive?
It's part of our psychology. We respond to stuff that catches our imagination, and typically it's the devastation type of things that catch us more than like a good news story. That's why typically, you know, most news stories are all about bad stuff that's happened rather than good things. That's what people listen to. I'd be interested in Nick's thoughts as well. I feel that there are some of the news organisations in particular that do really take it too far, and that people start going, I don't really believe your news because you're making everything sensational even when it's not particularly sensational.
That is very correct. Nick Bendel, why we are drawn more to the exclusive new breaking news, COVID clusters, people dying, falling from the chairs, and then reality is totally different?
A few reasons, Mario. First, much news by definition is negative, because if 100,000 planes make it safely, that's not news. When one plane crashes, that is news. So a lot of news by definition is negative. also, humans are more likely to take action to avoid pain than to experience pleasure. So we tend to be more drawn to negative things that maybe pose a threat that alarm us. And also, we're bombarded by media and marketing messages every day, thousands and thousands of these messages. So if you want to attract someone's attention, you need to come up with something sensational, whether it's sex like we talked about earlier.
Or six-pack, Mario Beckers has a six-pack. And darling, can't go watch my figure here because I'm all saying. Well, gents, I would like to say thank you both, Nick Bendel from the Hunter's Scribe and Nick Hill from the Melbourne. When somebody want to reach you, how they can best reach you and contact details, please.
Well, I'd love to say LinkedIn. The only trouble with LinkedIn is that there are quite a few Nick Hills. But find me on LinkedIn through Hillster Marketing, or probably the easiest thing is to email me at Nick, N-I-C-K, at Hillster, H-I-L-L-S for sugar, T-E-R, .com.au.
Nick Hill, thank you very much for being our guest today, finding time and sharing your insights and the tips with our listeners. And thank you to everybody who listened to Live 90.5. Darren, back to you, and thank you, Nick Bendel.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
And we're going to take it out to the top of the hour with a bit of Queen, and then after the midday news, you'll be with Rage on Radio with her lunchtime special. You've been listening to Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and the two Nicks, and thank you again.
And have a nice day all. Thank you.
Thank you all, but it's been no better.